Today I'd like to welcome the speaker, Ray Varlinsky. He is a certified Gottman relationship therapist and a licensed marriage and family therapist. He's in private practice in Northern California, and he's been in practice for 14 years working with couples and individuals. And he's been a biofeedback therapist for 27 years using biofeedback and neurofeedback with chronic pain patients and for stress management, you know, in a medical practice. He is a senior fellow with the Biofeedback Certification Institute of America, and he's also been teaching for 26 years in the psychology department at Butte Community College. So I'd like to welcome Ray, and we'll turn it over to him.
Good morning, and good afternoon to a lot of you in different parts of the country. And I want to welcome you to this short teleclass on the use of the M-Wave in couples therapy. And I want to also thank Carol for her great introduction of me. What I'd like to do in terms of beginning is just to take a few moments for us to center ourselves and to really connect, since what this is about is our connection. And so if you will go along with me at this, I would like for you to close your eyes or to unfocus your eyes and to let your attention focus on the area of your heart and to get in touch with your breathing and allow your breathing to slow. So allowing yourself to take a gentle, slow in-breath and out-breath as you imagine breathing into your heart and out of your heart. Just allowing the breathing to soothe and to calm and to relax and to connect you with this marvelous organ that we're going to be talking about and the use of technology to attune it. And so as you're breathing in and slowly out, if you will also allow yourself to focus on a good feeling, on a positive emotion. And that can be someone who is very near and dear to you. It can be a pet. It can be something that you really value in your life, great resource in your life. Or on an experience that you had. Just allow yourself, as you're slowly breathing into your heart and out of your heart, to attune to a positive emotion and a positive feeling. So that we can bring our hearts into coherence as we go about together with this teleconference, because I have a lot of information that I would like to share with you, and yet time says that I can only share what's going to be available, and I hope what's going to be relevant to you in helping you utilize this approach in your couples practice with your couples. Thank you. So if you'll just allow yourself to come back out of this very relaxed state and bring your attention to where you are and the place that you're in, I'd like to begin by saying that along with the introduction that Carol gave to you, that my introduction into the field of biofeedback and then into couples therapy all began about 29 years ago. When I was in a time of a very distressed time in my life and undergoing a lot of emotional pain, and my business partner at that time suggested that I might benefit from taking some yoga. So I enrolled into a yoga class at our community college, and in that class I learned skills that I had never been introduced to. I learned how to do diaphragmatic breathing. I learned how to do visualization, affirmation, stretching, chanting, and found the benefits of being able to help me cope with this particular time in my life. And little did I know that in a short time that I would be drawn to yoga, and I began teaching yoga for that community college, and I also was able to form a relationship with that lovely yogina who has become my wife. And in fact, she's sitting with me right now. So ILO, a lot of what I learned from the background of yoga, and then through yoga, I was got in touch with biofeedback through a film I showed in one of my classes called Biofeedback, Yoga of the West, the Menninger Foundation, Dr. Elmer Green and Associates. And that connected me with the ability to be able to self-regulate and use instrumentation, which went on to create a successful career in helping so many people use biofeedback. In the course of my work, so many of my couples or clients I saw were having couples problems, relationship problems, and brought me into relationship therapy and to getting my license as an MFT and to Dr. John Gottman. And because of Gottman's work with working with physiology and biofeedback really attracted me, and that led to where I am today as a certified Gottman therapist and a certified Gottman workshop leader. Now, as to my experience with HeartMath, about 10 years ago, a good colleague of mine who has passed away, Dr. Jeff Cram, who is probably one of the world-renowned researchers and writers in the world of EMG, electromyography, which works with muscle monitoring and muscle tension, told me about HeartMath and said I should really check them out. So my wife and I went to, 10 years ago, to a two-day retreat in Boulder Creek, California, and I learned some of the basic skills that HeartMath had to offer. At that time, they had instrumentation, but not portable instrumentation. So as soon as the freeze framer, and the freeze framer is the predecessor to the M-Waves, I purchased a freeze framer and began using it with individuals and with students in my college classes, teaching them the skills and also them into the technology of what is happening when we are able to create a coherent pattern with the heart rate variability. Now, I have been aware and trained in heart rate variability before HeartMath in the field of biofeedback, and the instrumentation that I used in my lab, I used a lot of J&J computerized systems, did do electrocardiograms and compute heart rate variability patterns. Although at that particular time, what was looked at was called RSA, which stands for respiratory sinus arrhythmia, which is a way of being able to look at breathing and the electrocardiogram and then being able to find a pattern. And the pattern is related to heart mass coherence at the point one. And they were using this for helping not only with relaxation, but with a lot of illnesses that people had. When I got involved with and interested in using biofeedback with couples, that's what I began using. I was involved with sophisticated multimodality biofeedback, and very exciting work when you do that with people who are being sent to you by a physician with chronic pain, with migraine headaches, and biofeedback is what's being offered as a way to deal effectively with that when they haven't had success with other approaches. When I attempted to do that with couples, however, I didn't get the same enthusiastic response because somehow couples, when they came in for therapy, really weren't coming in to be have wires placed on them, gels and bands and sophisticated computer equipment. They came in for another purpose, and they came in to tell their story, and they wanted the therapist, of course, to think that their side of the story was the one that was correct and the one their partner was telling was dysfunctional. So that approach didn't work, and it brought me around to, once again, taking a look at that freeze framer that I had purchased that I thought was a nice toy. It had fun games in it, and I used it with my clients, but to bring that into using it with couples in therapy. And that's where I am today, in that I use now the M-Wave, which is just a remodeled freeze framer with really much more usable software, and I use that in conjunction primarily with the Gottman approach to working with relationship. And the reason, again, is that John spent so much time looking at physiology, working with heart rate. He did not use heart rate variability, and that was a new component into it. And what I'd like to share with you is, and I'll use a client. You know, it's interesting how clients come along when you really need them. And I just had a client the other day that I thought this really represents a way of bringing in this type of work. And also to let you know the protocol that I use. And I know a lot of you do have equipment, or if you don't have equipment, how does this fit in an MFT practice? Again, working with individuals and especially working with couples. And so I'll call my clients Bill and Mary, although that's not their real name. And Bill and Mary came in just the other day, and they were, again, as a lot of couples come in, disconnected, so disconnected that Mary had moved out for the last 3 months and was considering that the relationship was over, and Bill was really distressed by that, thinking they were going to have a divorce. But she was going to give it one last chance and convince Bill, coerced Bill, to come into relationship therapy. When they came into therapy, one of the things I do is, of course, hear their story. And their story was a typical story of being disconnected and being in quite a bit of emotional pain. One of the things within the Gottman assessment model that I use is that after I hear their story and I give them empathy on both sides, and in that time, they're in a distressed state. They're talking about something that is painful. They're feeling painful emotions. I change the subject and bring them to a place of being able to focus on what was it that attracted them to this particular person. You know, like, Mary, why did you get in relationship with Bill? What was it about Bill, that all the different people that you know and been around, that you would choose Bill? And Mary listed all these positive characteristics of Bill that attracted her. And I did, of course, the same with Bill. In doing that, they begin to focus on thoughts that produce good feelings. And it shifts them out of that particular place of being in a distressed place. With Bill and Mary, I also, during the assessment, learned that their relationship to emotions and how to use emotions in their life was not a healthy model. And, of course, much like John talks about that most people's model of what relationship is and how relationship works goes back to that early model that was taught to them by their caretakers. And in this case, with Bill and Mary, the model that they had learned about emotion was also a model that was causing them a lot of distress. And it's a model that's, especially the one that Bill had as I explored, one that I find so many men, and so has John in his research, that growing up in a family where emotions were not handled well, in this case, Bill's father, when he became angry, disconnected, he would do what John talked about, he would stonewall. And he would stonewall for weeks. And if anybody did approach him during that time, he would become very angry, so he just left him alone. So Bill learned that when emotions are distressful, when emotions are negative, the best thing you can do with that is to detach from them. Now, of course, as you might guess, Mary grew up in a family where people talked and expressed their emotions, sometimes overexpressed their emotions, and became emotionally volatile. But she liked to talk about emotions, and Bill, when emotions were brought up, he just disconnected. In fact, the one thing, and I hear this a lot of times from my male clients, is that the word that will set off a stress response in men is, we need to talk. And what Mary would say to Bill is, we need to talk about our relationship. And immediately, that triggered feelings in Bill that he wouldn't go to, and he would shut down, wouldn't talk to her. And so the end result was, they became severely disconnected and they had lost a lot of hope in their relationship. And that is where I find that being able to do emotional coaching that John talks about and present a model that is a functional model of how to deal with emotions and how to self-soothe. So one of the things that I use, first of all, in my sessions, and usually it's the first time, is to bring in the M wave. Now, if I can just set Bill and Mary aside for a moment, and I'll come back to them, how do you introduce the M wave? Now, the M wave comes in two forms. There is the PSR, it's a small personal stress reliever, and then there's the computer PC model. And the one I like to use initially is the simple handheld PSR. And I've tried different ways to do that with clients. And I come up with something that works extremely well. And that is that I have two PSRs, and I suggest that if you can afford two PSRs, it's the way to go. And I mount two PSRs on microphone stands. I use Velcro. They go onto the microphone stand, so they're held in place so that the client doesn't have to touch them. But the thing is, sitting by each of my black chairs, I have chairs that glide and swivel, and people love the chairs, are these chrome microphone stands with these little PSRs, and they're the silver ones attached to each one with a wire running down to a table, if you can imagine that. And they come in the room the first time, sit down, and I know they see these things, but I would say almost 100% of people never say a word about them, and they're just right parked right next to them. They're quite obvious. And usually after I do the positive characteristic part of the assessment, and I will introduce them by saying, no doubt you've noticed that two stands with these little silver boxes on them. I bet you're wondering what they are. And people go, oh, yeah. And what most people think they are tape recorders. And they think that I'm either tape recording them or I'm going to tape record them. And it becomes a wonderful opportunity for me to say what they are, that they are devices that help with self-soothing. And I go into the whole thing of flooding and necessity for being able to regulate our psychophysiological arousal. Then I offer to demonstrate it to them and put it on. By and large, most people are very open to that. And I put the ear clips on and get them to focus on breathing. In this case, and I'll go back to Bill and Mary, when I put this on them, they started in on the breathing, and Mary very quickly was able to go from the red, which is the normal, the low end or normal coherence, into blue and then green. And she was delighted with doing that by using the little breathing bar. And what she was doing was using the breath to influence her autonomic nervous system, and the heart pays such close attention to that that her heart began going into what we call this pattern of coherence. And she looked over and said, Bill, how are you doing? And he said, oh, I'm still in red. And then slowly he got to. I work as a coach, and coach in almost the style that John found very effective in increasing performance, and that is to only comment when they get to blue or green. And they both did. Bill got in there, and they were both in green, using their breath. I then turned their attention toward me, away from the units. Now, I have the units set so that I can watch them, see what's going on, and when I'm talking to them, and they're listening to me. And I went into really helping them understand, with empathy, about their relationship and how this works and the benefit of it. And lo and behold, both of them are in, their instruments are showing the green light, which is they're in a coherent state. They're in a state of being open and receiving the information that I'm giving to them. So it's good feedback to me, and I bring their attention to that. In that first session, I really do want my clients to take this home and practice, and that's why the ability to be able to self-soothe, and John Gottman has found this so important when people become flooded. And the definition of flooding is that, first, it's a state of mind. And it's a state of mind where whatever your partner is saying to you, you would rather be anyplace else in the world but next to them. And you want to get away from them. And some people get away by doing one of the four horsemen, which is to stonewall. Other people get away by getting really angry and pushing their partner away with their anger. But they want to get out of there. And physiologically, they are in an aroused state. And one of the things that their autonomic nervous system, the sympathetic, is really firing. The value of using this piece of technology is that you can teach them to self-soothe. And that self-soothing, they get feedback so they know when they're really doing it. And the breath is the using breathing. And my old training in RSA is as a first line. HeartMath refers to that as going to neutral. focusing on the heart and focusing on the breath. And that's what I want them to practice and to be able to, at home, at least two times a day, to be able to access a positive feeling. Now, it may not be a positive feeling about their partner yet, but a positive feeling, and to do some training at home. Now, people usually are not going to say, can I buy one of these instruments? And most of us therapists, we don't sell instruments anyway. So I have them use the second hand of a clock, and I teach them to be able to do a complete breath every 10 seconds. And they can do 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out, or I like to do 4 seconds in and 6 seconds out, mainly because that slower out breath is triggering the sympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system, which is the brakes. I really like them to understand their autonomic nervous system by the sympathetic being the accelerator and the sympathetic being the brakes. It's simplified, but it works really well. And what I wanted to learn to do is put the brakes on. Again, they come into therapy, and research says that they come into therapy when their relationship has severely deteriorated. Most people, there are some that are more proactive, but the average is after they are aware of a serious problem in their relationship, it's 6 years before they come into therapy. They need breaking action. And they need to be able to change their emotional tone. I just attended a one-week retreat conference at Asilomar, and the keynote speaker at this particular conference was Rabbi Michael Lerner. And Rabbi Michael Lerner founded the Network of Spiritual Progressives, which is an interfaith organization that is devoted to world peace. And if you're interested in that, and I would highly advise you to kind of take a look at what he's doing. He has they're very, very well organized, and he's getting great support. But one of the things that Rabbi Lerner alerted me to was that there are basically two emotions. And I've heard this before, but it brought it back. And the emotion is fear or hope. And our couples, when they come into therapy, they're somewhere on the continuum between fear and hope, usually way over on the fear side of it. And I believe that one of my responsibilities in working with them is to try to change that balance and to do it early in the session to get them over on the side of hope. And hope has under it, of course, love and compassion, appreciation, joy, fun. Fear, of course, has all the other ones of anger and resentment, frustration, and disappointment, and disillusionment. And to be able to do that using this technology is to be able to get them to soothe themselves. People who are fearful are usually highly aroused, whether that's showing in terms of their agitation, anger, or their withdrawal. And the M wave is an excellent tool for being able to teach that and show that with some concrete feedback and evidence that people can relate to. And once again, this instrument is actually using the heart as the main organ of feedback. And opening our heart is what people, I think, would like to do in their relationship, even though so many times when they come into therapy, they believe that it's not possible. And so by learning to self-soothe, and John has done so much work in this area of self-soothing and the importance of it, and creating positive affect. In fact, I believe that, and this is my perception, successes of the Gottman approach is that it is so, the research has showed so much that positive affect is so important in creating stable and happy relationships. In fact, most of the Gottman interventions really deal with creating positive affect. In fact, the model of the sound relationship house is built on friendship and problem solving, with the friendship being really accentuated so that it enables problem solving. He also, in his research, and the research is well documented, a 5-to-1 ratio on positive affect to negative affect during conflict is necessary for a relationship to stay stable. Divorce occurs at 0.8-to-1 positive affect to negative affect. In non-conflict times, it needs to be as high as 20 to 1. Of course, he uses softened startup, emotional coaching, turning towards, looking for what is right, stress reduction conversations. In fact, nearly all interventions have built into them ways of being able to achieve positive affect. HeartMath's 15-plus years of research has worked with exactly that, the power of the emotions and how powerful they are, and that to be able to really realize what we want and our needs, we need to be in a positive emotional state. In fact, one of my authors that I like, Greg Braden, The Divine Matrix, does a very good job of being able to point that out, as does Sue Johnson in her work of Hold Me Tight, which I recommend, Daniel Goleman's work, Social Intelligence, Emotional Intelligence. All these point that positive affect, positive emotion are really necessary for health and well-being. I was just reading an article the other day that was sent to me on the research that's being done with the Dalai Lama and the Tibetan approach to the power of compassion, and compassion to not only affect physical health, but depression as a way to change what's going on in the brain, and that emotions change what goes on in the brain. And HeartMath has shown this over and over again, that it is a relationship between the heart and what the heart is doing in terms of the electrical signals that it is sending out, and the brain and the nervous system. So once again, as a relationship therapist, with highly distressed couples coming in, and usually two highly distressed couples, having a tool that will very quickly enable them to be able to calm their physiology and be able to see the power that positive affect has, because the M waves you can use in breathing to bring about coherence in the body. And that is, I think of that as more the a first aid. When people come in and they are emotionally hemorrhaging, I want to be able to stop the bleeding. And stopping the bleeding is to be able to get them to soothe themselves, to calm themselves. And then secondly, then teach them that the ability to be able to access a positive emotional state also becomes a driver that produces coherence and has the added benefit of being able to empower whatever it is that they really want to realize in their relationships. All of us relationship therapists, we know that we start with goals with our clients, and we set goals because that's how we determine when therapy is to end. Sometimes it ends prematurely, but that's what we attempt to do. And to be able to empower our goals with positive emotion. And I demonstrate that to people in terms that they can understand. And one is that when you ask for something of your partner in a negative emotional state, unless your partner is highly emotionally intelligent and has had really good training, or we're fortunate they have parents that modeled how to use emotions effectively, usually you don't get what you want, because the emotions interfere, block, trigger almost reciprocal emotions in your partner. It takes positive emotions and positive goals and visions to be able to create, I believe, a relationship that works. And so all the tools that I find with the Gottman approach are geared to do that. And that the M wave is a tool, and that's how I see it, as a tool that enables that. Now, going back to Bill and Mary, they were delighted. They liked this. First, they had success. I asked Bill, I said, how are you feeling right now? He goes, you know, when I came in here, I was really anxious. I was really nervous and upset. I'm feeling pretty relaxed. And so what I will do on the next session is, and I told him, I said, you know, I want you to understand this a little bit better. And so I used the PC model. And the PC model allows them to see the waveform. I can also see the heart rate. And so much of John's work was done with heart rate. I will also allow them to see what distressing thoughts do through the relationship. and engage them in a conflictual situation and watch that with them. So the PC model, I believe, is also, if you can afford one, is an excellent one they have for really showing and doing some training. Plus, since I still do a lot of biofeedback work, I just don't use my full lab anymore. I pretty much just stay with the M-Wave PC. You know, and the other thing is that sometimes I don't have as much time with my clients as I would like. I work a lot with managed care. I do a lot of EAPs, and those of you who work with EAPs, somewhere between 3 and 8 sessions, depending upon on the company. Insurance companies, maybe 12 to 15 sessions, and then I do some private pays. The private pays seem to be the one that when people are paying money, one, they tend to value more, they want results, and they usually will stay into their goals. So sometimes I don't have a long time, and yet what I'd like to be able to do, and I tell people, there's one thing that I can really help you with, there's one thing I can leave you with that will benefit your relationship, and that is how to reduce the toxicity of over-arousal and emotions. I also like to, especially those who really don't have a good emotional model, they didn't learn one, they haven't been introduced to one, I've been recently emailing them a book, and it's called EQ for Everybody. It's free. It's online. The author is Stephen Hine, and he's taken the work of a lot of the researchers in emotional intelligence, including Daniel Goldman, and condensed it. And I think he's done an excellent job. So my clients who are willing, they get to have some homework and studying and the importance of emotions as some ways to work with emotion and how to say, I feel. And I find that very valuable. So if I can help them to self-soothe, if I can help them to be able to become more emotionally intelligent and work with their emotions and talk about their emotions and learn how to recover after a fight and to be able to reconnect, if that's all I can do, then I feel that I've given them a gift. I like to do, of course, a lot more than that, since there are so many excellent interventions that are out there that help couples be able to create a relationship in which they have more good feelings than bad feelings, and they feel more connected than disconnected, and that the relationship supports them, supports their needs, and that they can communicate. Since most people, when they list the problem in their relationship, is they don't think they are communicating. Well, they are communicating, but they aren't communicating what they want to communicate. So in a nutshell, that's what I do and how I work with that. I believe the M-Wave is excellent. And the introduction, I think it's excellent as an assessment tool, the work with flooding. And there's another way that I like to use it, and that is at the beginning of a session, and I don't do it every time, but I do it quite often, is have a couple come in and go into coherence together with their breathing and with their feeling, and to visualize or to connect with the goals that they really want for their relationship and to feel appreciation for their partner before we begin therapy. And that's an excellent way of setting a tone. And then very lastly, for those who aren't using this in their practice or would like to use it or have purchased an instrument, and I highly recommend that you use it with yourself. Work with the instrument and your ability to be able to produce coherence through breathing, coherence through positive emotion, because when you're in therapy working with clients and you can go into coherence, I do think that you help to entrain your clients going into a more coherent state. And so with that, I'd like to go ahead and turn this over to questions for the next 15 minutes or so. Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks, Ray. And if anyone would like to ask a question, hit the *6, you know, on your keypad, and then that will unmute you. So then you can state your name and ask your question.
I have a couple, but I'll just ask one in case there's some other people in line. when you do the follow-up session with the PCs, do you have two PCs that are operating simultaneously?
You know, I've tried two PCs. I've gone down to one just because of office space, and also that I've upgraded my computer equipment. It's expensive. So what I do is I just switch the ear sensor from one person to another.
I have a quick question for you. One of the things I run into a fair amount with couples is a competition factor, where let's say the wife seems real competent at it, and the more competent she gets at producing, getting into the green zone, the more frustrated the man becomes, or vice versa. Do you run into the situation yourself?
Well, that's a good question. Not too often. And the reason is that, again, and this is where the PC model is really good to take a look at and look at that waveform. If someone is having any arrhythmias, especially anything that's producing a red signal on the PC model, that's going to keep them from going into coherence. And if that's what's really happening, then I have to address that. So if they're able to create a sinusoidal wave, they can do it with breathing, and I can get usually everyone to do it with breathing, but there are some of those people, and I've suggested they go see a cardiologist and get checked out if they show something that this is giving you too many errors. When you know you have a good hookup with them, when the signal that is coming off of the ear is clear, and yet you're getting signal, there's something happening there, and that can be very frustrating.
I do most of my training on the PC version, and most of the couples buy at least one of the handheld, the PSRs, and go home with it. But there are two couples on my mind that I'm thinking of where the male gets very frustrated that he can't get, they'll change the challenge level. And the female, for instance, is in much better physical shape than the male, and she is able to actually perform competently at levels 2 and 3. But the male has difficulty even at level 1, and the more frustrated he gets into this kind of circular reaction where he gets more frustrated, he gets poorer performance, he gets more frustrated, he gets poorer performance. And I've got, there are two couples I work with who have had this over the past couple of years. There's obviously a lot of other emotional baggage.
That's what I was thinking is that comes to mind is how can he take a look at that frustration? So using the frustration as information, communication from his emotion. His emotion is trying to communicate something to him. What is it that he, you know, he wants? What is that about? And then being able to see if he can release that, because that could be part of his training. So this would be in vivo for him.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I just have a question on the patient's training with the home unit. You would like to put it in their hands, but of course, as licensed therapists, we're not allowed to sell things to them. Do you take the whole deposits from them and then give it back to them when they're finished, or is there any kind of renting it?
Yeah, I do. When I'm going to do that, I'll take a deposit on it. And I know some people don't like to sell. I'm not opposed to selling things, but if you are, then you can go ahead, as long as you don't lose your instrument. Now, if you want to collect rent, you can do that, but that's also setting up another business. I think each of us has to look at that from our own, what we consider to be ethical within our practice. But getting a deposit on it or getting a check for the full amount, and then when they return the instrument, giving it back to them, that way you don't lose instruments and get them back. So I think that's a good way of doing that.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Hi, I just wanted to go back over your reference list. I was trying to write down, and I've heard the books before and also the e-book, EG for Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you said Greg Braden Divine.
Divine Matrix. He also wrote The God Code. But Greg Braden is, an excellent researcher, and I like good research of studying people all over the world who are able to healers, meditators, people who tend to be able to do things that a lot of us are in terms of healing work or in terms of manifesting what they want. So he studied, and he's kind of sifted it down to what's actually going on. So I like him. I like his work. He seems to be pretty respected. And then for the EQ for Everybody, Steve Hein, H-E-I-N, and the website is EQI.org.
And Sue Johnson.
Sue Johnson's new book, and John Gottman just really gave her a great write-up on it. He says he endorses it, thinks it's one of her best. Hold Me Tight. If you go on Sue Johnson's website, you can get a summary of the book. She's done a beautiful summary on there and get a flavor for what she's doing. See whether or not that's something you'd like to read.
I don't know if this is a correct question to ask, but would coherence be a similar state to the forms of meditation like on the sound current? Is that a similar state or brainwave state?
Well, yeah, there are correlates to it. And that's what I did with my biofeedback lab, is that when people were in coherence, I could look at a lot of different modalities. I could look at the EEG and see more alpha in the EEG, greater presence and amplitude of alpha. I could also see a decrease in muscle tension, increase in peripheral blood flow. And so I think it absolutely is a good indicator. That's why I've gone down to a single modality. And I think of any modality that I have been looking at, that heart rate variability gives us great information that is correlated in heart math. You read a lot of the heart math research that they've done. Is that helpful?
Yes.
Ray, I couldn't tell from what you said towards the end, but do you keep the M-Wave on the client through your sessions?
You know, I usually don't keep them on during the session. There's been a few times when I've hooked it up and just let it run for a while, but I especially use it when they're flooding. In fact, I was just thinking I had one of my clients that really learned this well, and they were in there and she got upset and she said, I need the M-Wave. And she just put it on herself. She just reached over there, hooked it on her ear and put it on her and started breathing and calmed herself down. So I really want them to learn to do that. And so I don't usually run an entire session with it.
Thanks.
Okay.
If there are any further questions, please feel free to email them to me. I'm Carol Thompson. My email is Carol, C-A-R-O-L, at HeartMath, HeartMath.com. And we'll be happy to answer your questions. So I just wanted to thank everyone for joining us this morning. And if anyone would like further information on the M-Wave PC, the computer program, or the M-Wave personal stress relievers, you can email me about that. And then also we have support materials. There's a practitioner's guide for using the M-Wave PC with clients, and we'd be happy to email that to you. And also we have client education brochures, and then we also have brochures on the M-Wave that if you're a client, if you don't want to sell them or provide them, and I know in some states you may not want to do that, we have M-Wave brochures that we'd be happy to send you. And then also we do have a series of recorded calls and recorded webinars, and we can send you information on that also. And there's also more information on our health professional section of our website. If you go to heartmath.com and click on healthcare, go to the health professional section, we have a lot of educational materials and free materials there. So, again, feel free to send me an email, carol@heartmath.com. if you'd like any of those resources or to ask a question about Ray. And Ray, I want to thank you for joining us today. And we do have a second teleclass planned with Ray where he's going to go a little more in-depth into how to use it with couples. If you'd like information on that, you can send me an email and we'll be happy to send that to you also. So I want to thank everyone for joining us this morning, and we will see you again.
Thank you.